In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Just last Sunday, brothers and sisters, the cross was in the center of the church. And we spoke about how important it is to be a cross bearer, somebody who uses this great instrument of the Lord to burst and pop our own ego so that we might share in the life of God. We said that the ego is the wall that we put up around ourselves so that we can carve out of God's creation a little section for me, myself, and I. And we live in this bubble, in a fallen state. And this bubble, of course, if it continues in an eternal way, it becomes our own Hades and our own hell. This state of isolation, of separation from God and our neighbor. And it's the cross that actually destroys that pops that bubble, that opens us up to greater things. The mind has not only its own thoughts, but now it's open up to all truth. The heart not only loves certain things, but it comes to love all things and all people. The will, which becomes so stubborn with our own ways, is now open to all of God's good ways. When the ego is popped, we begin to live. Last Sunday, we had the cross in the center of the church, and the church was adorned in red vestments. The color red symbolizing blood, the blood of Christ, that was shed for us, so that we might shed our own ego for him. Today, the church is still in red, not because the priest was lazy and didn't change the colors back to gold, but because today we have a celebration of martyrs. We have the celebration of the Alaskan martyrs, Hiram Monk Giovanelli, and Peter, the youth martyr of San Francisco. We have also the celebration of the proto-martyr, Thecla, the first woman martyr. And martyrdom is something that we see actually every day of the year. Just yesterday, we had the martyr, St. John the Baptist, who celebrated his conception. We had also the martyr, Arida, who was from Egypt, martyred in the 4th century under the Romans. The new martyr, Nicholas, from Constantinople, martyred under the Turks in the 17th century. The new martyr, John, who was a convert from Islam to Christianity in the 19th century in Albania. He was put to death for that. In fact, every single day of the year, our church can be adorned in these beautiful red vestments that symbolize the blood of Christ and that symbolize our own blood shed for him. What a great illustration of the love that he has for us and the love that we have for him. This is, of course, our goal, to abide in this love and to share this love for all of eternity. Sometimes when people hear of martyrdom and the Christian desire to die for Christ, to give up the former self so that we might be reborn, refashioned, remade, resurrected in Christ, they think that Christianity has a love affair with death. All Christians concern themselves with his dying. But Christianity is not a love affair with death. Christianity is a love affair with Christ. And it's for him that we die. It's for him that we give up our former selves so that we might abide in him, so that we might take on his life by participation and by grace. Christianity is not a love affair with death, it's a love affair with Christ. In the Epistle to the Romans, St. Paul says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. For the sake of God." He says later to the Romans, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, on account of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God." Think about that. Our own bodies as living sacrifices that we offer up. And this is, of course, what we see in the martyrs. They crucified, they put to death not only their ego, their old self, but they offered up even their own lives, even their own bodies, They gave up everything so that Christ might fill them fully. Martyrdom is a love affair with Christ that we're called to. Now, not all of us certainly will be martyrs in love. Perhaps maybe none of us will be. But we're still called to this love. We're still called to this witness. And St. Paul, he tells the Romans and he tells us how we can do it. He says, do not present the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. You see, the body can be offered up in martyrdom, yes, but the body can also be offered up as an instrument to God, so that God can use us to do his work. In your bulletin today are two wonderful quotes from two of our great Holy Fathers, St. Gregory of Nyssa and St. John Chrysostom, that speak to us about how we as Christians can use our bodies to glorify God. St. Gregory of Nyssa, he says, we ought to consider our minds as far more than a gift. They are a way of sharing the mind of God. Think about that. Our minds are a way to share in the mind of God. That's why we get that bubble that surrounds our own thoughts and separate ourselves from the truth of God. We get rid of that so our minds can share in the mind of God. He says, but the mind itself, because it is incorporeal, immaterial, it cannot communicate with other beings. It does not have any means of displaying its proper nature. So God created an instrument, the vocal cords, which the mind strikes like a plectrum, and so by using different sounds, it can share its own internal world. The mind is like a competent musician who relates with the public on a flute or a lyre. The mind is full of a thousand ideas that otherwise would remain hidden, and it lavishes them upon the minds of others by means of sound. Therefore, from the human body flows music as if the flute and lyre were playing together, creating a unique harmony. The same lips, now open, now closed, are like fingers running swiftly over musical instruments. What a beautiful image of the mind to share in the mind of God and to communicate his word. St. John Chrysostom, he says, though, when the body is ill, the soul is badly affected. In the great majority of cases, in fact, our spiritual capacities behave according to our physical condition. Illness lays us low and makes us different, almost unrecognizable from when we are well. And then he uses an illustration like St. Gregory of Nyssa. He says, if the strings of an instrument give a feeble or false sound because they are not taught enough, the artist has no way of displaying any particular talent. The defect in the strings defeats all skill. It is the same with the body. It can do a great deal of harm to the soul. So I ask you, take care that your body stays fit. Safeguard it from illness of any sort. I am not telling you either to let it lay waste or to let it grow fat. Feed it with as much food as is necessary for it to become a ready instrument of the soul. So the body is meant to be in healthy, good, working order, so that it serves the soul, which itself is meant to be in healthy, good, working order, which is meant to serve God, who is healthy, good, working order. See the connection here? The body lives because of the soul lives because of God. And in this way, God can work in all things, in our souls and in our bodies. This is a way for us to offer up our life to him. This past week, I was given a gift by my beautiful wife, who has been looking out for me in many ways, soul and body, and trying to help me in all things as a good helpmate. The gift that she gave me was a Fitbit. Anyone know what a Fitbit is? Some of you may have Fitbits, I don't know. A Fitbit is a little device that you could clip on to yourself. I have it on my belt, you can't see it. And it tracks how many steps you take in the day. And the goal of the Fitbit is to encourage us to healthier living. My wife knows that I've had some health issues this past year, and I've been laid up and not up to my normal activities physically. And she gave me this Fitbit to kind of help me out of my lethargy, to get me off the couch, to get me back in the game again. And I put this Fitbit on, and I got it, I think FedEx brought it maybe like 5 Thursday night. I put it on, and I went out right away, and I was walking. I was burning up the parking lot. You can see my treads there. And I put in, I don't know, 4,000, 5,000 steps in an hour. That's right, something like that. So I was just, you know, working really hard. I came back in, and I lie down, I rest. But I felt really good because my body was working. And I felt not just good in my body, but I felt good in my soul because I was becoming healthier. Then the next day, Friday, woke up. I walked from my bed down to the office, got on the computer, and I started doing my normal work. And it was 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. And then I got a message on my smartphone. It was a message from my wife. And she wrote, "Arise and walk." She didn't phrase it that way. That's the biblical phraseology. She said, "Get up and walk. Get up and walk." So I realized that, you know, this Fitbit's not going to help me unless if I actually use it. So I did get up and I walked. And for those who have the Fitbit, you know that there's an app that comes with it on your smartphone, and it counts all your steps. But it also counts how many steps you take in a day or in a week. It counts also the steps you take in an hour. And every hour it sets a goal for you to take a walk of 250 steps. It's like going down to the mailbox and back. And it gives you a little indicator whether you've done it or not. At the end of the day, you get this report. At the end of the week, you get a report. And you get to see your progress or lack thereof. And I noticed that the Fitbit also had a section on it for community. There's a way that you can not only track your own steps, but you can participate in a group of people who are also on the Fitbit. You can see what their steps are, and they can see yours. And it's a way of accountability. It's also a way to challenge one another, to push one another. I challenged my wife. Yesterday I beat her. Not for any reason, but a technical one. Her Fitbit was not working. Otherwise, she would have destroyed me. But in this community, we can spur one another on. We can remind one another with texts, "Arise and walk." And we could focus on what it is that we need to do. There's also a section in there on guidance to give instruction from physical trainers or therapists, or people who know about the healing and restoration of the body. And I thought to myself, wow, this Fitbit, it does everything. Wouldn't it be great if the church had an app like that for the soul? Wouldn't it be great if there's something we could just download into like our smartphones and, you know, we'd be on track with healthy souls? And then I realized to myself, when I wrote down this list of all the things the Fitbit does, it provides focus, reminders, routines, weekly, daily, monthly, provides a community, guidance, progress reports, and it brings results. I reminded myself that actually, you know, the church has been doing this since the very beginning. The church always gives us focus. It reminds us we have routines, weekly, daily, monthly cycles in the liturgical year. We have a community, we have one another. We have guidance, which is not just supposed to be your priest. It's supposed to be the consensus of the church. All of those who open their minds to the mind of God through their mouth and who speak with consensus that echoes through all the generations. We have reviews where we check our progress, the Lenten seasons. We go to confession to bring forward our lack of progress. And finally, we have results, because we actually do become healthier. We do get to share in some greater and greater way in God, who is life. Health is all about sharing in God, who is life, right? That's what health is. God gives life to the soul gives life to the body. It all comes from God. Health comes from God. Brothers and sisters, human being is a composite, soul and body. And the human being is meant to love God with our soul and with our body. All of us are meant to crucify the ego with the soul. To give up what we think we should be thinking about in our minds. To give up what we love that's maybe sinful or incomplete in our hearts. To give up our stubborn self-will. To crucify that ego and the soul. So that we might share in the mind, the heart, and the will of God. And we're also meant to offer up our bodies. Some in blood martyrdom, but probably few of us here. The rest of us are meant to offer up our bodies as instruments of God. Think about how much good work we could do if our souls and our bodies are healthy, dwelling in God, being vivified by Him, giving through us life to the world. That is what we're meant to do, to become healthy and enlivened ourselves and to share this with others. Brothers and sisters, what a great gift we have to be witnesses to Christ in this manner, to be martyrs for Him in this manner, to offer up our souls and bodies to Him who created us for this life with Him. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.